is a psychological necessity. The scriptures say that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Many of us in this room get that. Many of us in this room know what it is to lose hope. You've walked through days of despair, and you understand it. You get it when you hear hope is a psychological necessity. We cannot live without hope. Take just a moment and consider what the Spirit of God might be lifting to you in your thought, in your mind right now. Where might you be wrestling with having hope? Are there circumstances? Are there relationships in your family? Maybe nobody knows about wrestling of your heart with God. Maybe the very nature of who God is, you're wrestling there. You're wrestling with a relationship. And you're trending toward despair. You're wrestling with what it means to have hope. So take just a moment and acknowledge that reality, that challenge in your mind and your heart right now. And lift that up to the Spirit of God. And just in your heart and your mind right now, say, God, would you please speak to me there? Because see, our God is a God who, although he sees us as a group of people this morning, he knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many fell out this morning. He does a running count. He's got a current count right now. He knows when the sparrows fall. That's our God. And he knows the challenges of your heart. And he can speak to that challenge today. Exactly where you need him to speak. And I'm praying that you hear his voice in an unmistakable way. Because you see, God has called us here today to call us to reaffirm the reality that we are, as a group of followers of Jesus, we are a community of hope. That's who we are. It's not we were a community of hope someday in the past when we felt good and right and things were better. No. And it's not like someday in the future when things get lined up a little better than they are right now, we will be a people of hope. No. We are, by definition, by design, by character, a people of hope. That means we have a confident expectation that God is going to work peace. We know that he is going to work the disparate pieces of life that we see. He's going to bring them together in that beautiful word, the Jewish word, the Hebrew word called shalom. The idea of that word is completeness, fullness. It doesn't mean circumstantial lining up of events. It means that God in his sovereignty and his power is going to bring peace, shalom. He's going to do that. And we walk in that confidence. We live in that confidence. And therefore, we are a community of hope. Paul, in his letter to the followers of Christ in the city of Colossae, speaks about this. Notice as we read just a couple verses in this letter, keep in mind that the people of Colossae are similar to us, that they're living in a culture where the dominant culture is not following Christ. They are living in a culture where there are idols right in front of them, all day, every day, wrestling with idol worship. We are too. You know what I mean about that. You understand what it means to wrestle with who is the organizing principle of your life. We wrestle with idolatry too. But in the midst of this, Paul is going to speak some truth to these followers of Christ in Colossae in this way, that this truth about who God is and who they are related to him in Christ is such a certainty that he speaks about it as like a past tense. Like it's already happened. You have been, but that's a future reality too. So listen to this. And this, we start in chapter 3. Paul says to these followers of Christ, since then, you have been raised with Christ. You have been. It's a done deal in Christ. You've been raised with Christ. Because of that, set your hearts on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things, for you have died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And so when Christ, who is your life, appears in all of his fullness, then you also will appear with him in glory. Just a few paragraphs before this, Paul says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the hope. So our hope is rooted in a story of kept promises. Our hope is not some wishful thinking about things turning out in a certain way in the future, maybe circumstantially. Our hope is rooted in a story of kept promises. God said, I will give you a Messiah. He kept his promise. Jesus came. He said, you will crucify that Messiah on a cross, but I will raise him up. God kept his promise again. Jesus died. He rose again. God kept his promise. And because of that, when he says, I am coming again, and I will bring the fullness of my kingdom, and you will know peace in all of its fullness in the future at some point, we go, we can believe that. We can walk in that confidence. Because he's kept his promises, and we know that. And so it gives us hope and confidence to walk into the future, knowing God will keep his promises. No question about it. Our hope is rooted in kept promises. By the way, that phrase there is from a wonderful commentary by Brian Walsh and Sylvia Keesmaat. It's not my verbiage. I loved how they captured that truth. Our hope is also rooted in God's sovereignty. Catch this little phrase that Paul brings up in the second chapter of Colossians. We begin in verse 9. He says that, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. One of the purposes of the letter of Colossians is for Paul to talk about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And he speaks about that. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Jesus, he is the head over every power and authority. Jesus is the head over every power, every authority. Is there any power, any authority that supersedes Jesus? None. There isn't one. Jesus is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. And it's because of our hope rooted in his sovereignty, in his power, in his goodness, we know that he will bring peace because he can. One of my favorite phrases in the book of Isaiah is when Isaiah is speaking about this child who's going to come and be the promised answer. It's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. And then a few verses after that, Isaiah reminds us, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. That's how we know. That's how why we can walk in hope, is because the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. He will bring about peace. The pieces are going to come together. But here's the challenge. They will come together in his way and in his time. We don't get to dictate that. We don't get to draw that out. And therefore, we need trust. We need just to acknowledge the fact that God, in his way, in his timing, will bring this about. We don't know the how, and we don't know the when. We just know he will do it. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. We just know it. That's why, over and over, you've heard this before, if you've been around here for a little bit of time, but God uses jigsaw puzzles to reaffirm this fact in me, in a deep and an important way. We started doing jigsaw puzzles several years ago during our vacation weeks, and I realized how important doing this puzzle was for me, how good it was. It was far more than just a relaxing little time, because I realized what God was teaching me is this was a metaphor for his peace. You see, God is going to do the box top. He's going to bring the pieces together. That's peace. He's going to do this. But what do you and I get? We don't get the box top. We just get the pieces. We get 3 or 4 or 5 pieces at most, and some of them are dark, some of them are light, some of them are an edge, some of them are a corner, but we don't get the whole puzzle. And so when I put those pieces together and we find one and we search for it and it snaps into place, there's just this sense of yes. God, you're going to do this. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know you are going to do this. It's hard to have the pieces. It's hard not to know this in all its completeness. We don't know how it's going to fit, but we do know the puzzle creator. And he is the one that he is calling us to have faith in, to trust him. So I encourage you, if you have not done a jigsaw puzzle lately, go out and buy one this week. Sometime or another, get a jigsaw puzzle. And just pray before you start to do it. Say, God, would you please redeem this puzzle and help work deep in me this confidence, this reality of your peace and what you're up to. That's good and that's nice and that's important. It's deeply important, that truth, that we call ourselves to this knowledge and this affirmation that we are a community of hope. That's who we are. But the question still remains, how do we live in the meantime? How do we live today with only a few pieces of the puzzle? And some of them might be fairly dark. How does that happen? One of the phrases that the Apostle Peter uses in his letters that I hang on to is this little phrase, in a little while. It's just a little while. He says to the followers of Christ dispersed in Asia Minor, I know you're suffering. I know you're going through difficult times, but he has the audacity to tell people in the midst of suffering, it's just a little while. And there's some truth to that. In the grand scheme of eternity, our life and our struggles is like a breath. It's gone. In a little while, we will see the fullness of our hope. In a little while, we'll know this. So how do you and I live today, though? In Colossians 1, at the very beginning, there's this fascinating phrase that Paul speaks about these followers of Christ and why he's thankful for them. In chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says, I am always thanking God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Because Paul says, we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love that you have for all God's people. This faith and this love springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven. Think about what Paul's saying for just a second. He is saying, I am thankful. I am seeing trust in Jesus Christ. You have faith in him. You're trusting him. I'm seeing it. In fact, he says it's spreading. People hear about this. But he also says, I also see your love for all of God's children. And he says those two things, this trust and this love, spring from your hope. Because the followers of Christ in Colossae knew of this hope, that they were walking in hope, that enabled them to trust Jesus every day. With the dark pieces and the light pieces, they were able to trust. They put their trust, their faith in Jesus. So I encourage you, express your trust in Jesus. It's there. If you said yes to Jesus, there's that seed of faith that's already living and residing in you. So I just encourage you to express it. And a little phrase in the devotional that Cindy and I have been walking through about 5 years called Jesus Calling, over and over and over again, the woman that put that together, Sarah Young, just encourages you to say, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. To verbalize that, express it, even if your heart and your emotions are not feeling it and you're wrestling with it, but express it because it's true. And it's very important and very good for us to do that. That little exercise of saying, I trust you, Jesus, has helped me and Cindy through countless moments over these last 5 years. I trust you, Jesus. You are sovereign. You are over. There is no power. There is no authority over you. There is no one who is going to limit your ability to bring peace. So I trust you, even though I don't see it, I don't understand, but I trust you. I encourage you to do that. I also encourage you to memorize Romans 15:13. I've encouraged you before, if you've been a part of Christ's community, I encourage you to put this passage to memory. Paul prays for the followers of Christ in Rome, and he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you can overflow with hope, so that you can brim over with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That verse has come to my mind countless times, that living, abiding truth of God's word has restored hope in the midst of despair in my own soul because of that truth. The God of hope can fill me with joy and peace as I trust him and by his power, not mine. And he can do that in you. You put that living, that abiding word of God in your mind, it will come up. It will flower. It will grow. It will impact your thinking. Express your trust in Jesus. Secondly, from what Paul says in here, let the love of God in you for all people flow. Love all people. Keep loving all of God's people. The hope is tied in a very strong way to the nature of that word in Greek. That word agape, love, is the love of choice. It's a volitional love. It's a love that says, I will choose to love you even if I do not feel like it. Even if my emotions are running one way, I will choose to love you. I will choose to say kind things to you. And I will take responsibility for the words of my mouth, for the meditations of my heart. I will own responsibility for that. I will reject a victim mentality. I will reject saying, I can't. It's been too hard and it's too big and I just can't. And we will own before God the power of God in us that we can love God's people, all of God's people, the ones we like and the ones we don't, the ones that are easy for us to love and the ones that aren't. God can do that. So love. And when that happens, hope springs. It's kind of a nice cycle. We can't do that without hope. But then when we do it, it restores hope. So I encourage you to choose to pray, choose to care, choose to share. That was a trilogy that somebody put in my mind years ago that is just stuck. Pray and care and share. It's why you have this on the back of your notes in the bulletin, this help. If you choose to take it, I encourage you to take that out if it's helpful to you. And jot down some friends here that you walk with at Christ Community or whatever church family you might walk in, and pray for them. Pray that they would know Jesus, that they would grow in him, that they would be connected, that they would serve, that they would share. Pray for them. Pray for friends in your neighborhood, colleagues. Just be decent neighbors and then share. Let that love that resides in you by the power of God flow to the others that God has called you to walk with. We're going to close with meditating on a song entitled Sovereign. As we listen to this song, listen to the words, the lyrics of the song, remember that piece of your life that the Spirit of God brought up at the beginning of our time together, that place where you're wrestling, that place where you're tempted to be in despair. Lift that up and ask God to, during the course of this song and as the words of His words come back to you, ask Him to speak and to seal in your heart and mind whatever He might have spoken to you about this morning. The song is entitled Sovereign, and it can enable you and me to walk into our days in hope. Thank you, Brian. Just one more. To walk into our year, whatever that looks like, as a church, practically it enables us to walk into this annual meeting we're going to have in a few minutes. We can walk into that. We can walk through that as a people of hope, as a community of hope, because of who our God is. Thanks, Brian.
Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me at the dawn.
Father, we confirm before you right now that we receive what you have spoken to us through your word, the truth of your word, that we are a people of hope. We are a community of hope. Father, by your grace and by your power, please enable us and strengthen us to walk in that hope, express that hope, and to know that hope in the depths of our being beyond some of the challenges of our circumstances. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit. Amen. We're going to take just a short break, and then we're going to begin our annual meeting.